Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Mission Accepted. And this is going to be a great show. They're always a great show, but we're going to talk about something today that everybody talks about often, many times. And how you talk about it or how you curate it, we're going to dig into a little bit about that. But today, let me see. You are the most abundant listeners and viewers. You know how much I love you, and so does everyone that comes onto this show, because you are making it happen. Oh my gosh, people, thank you so much. We have become so international. I just got a message back. Of course, you know, I'm an analytics girl, and we just had a show and got notification from LinkedIn 711 times. I thought that was funny. I'm like, oh, 711. For those of you that know what that means, it's convenient. So that's really cool. That means that you are really doing what we hope that you do, is be inspired and then share it so other people are inspired. But today we are going to talk about money. And it's very interesting, right? Money can create visceral experiences. It can create, money has so many connotations around it. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to make some, why it has those connotations. You know, some people want some, they say that, then they act in different directions. Like, it's all a very interesting experience, our interpersonal relationship with money, you know. And you find entrepreneurs, I mean, let's face it, most of you are entrepreneurs out there. You're doing something that attracted you to the word mission, right? I know that these ladies and these guests that are with us today are about mission-based businesses. And the mission, and part of their mission, because they do many, is about having people receive more money. Because it's what you want to do with it that makes the betterment of your life. So you hold people all the time. You're like, oh my gosh, I'd love to be a millionaire. Well, would you love to be a millionaire, or would you love to be able to do what that $1 million would bring you, right? It's kind of, you surpass that, but you know that, you say, I want to be $1 million. And why do people not want to talk about money? You know, it's a private thing. It's a private thing, but then people, you know, and that's very true. Money can be a very private, personal thing. But what is it? And people talk about it all the time. People talk about it, and we chase it. And sometimes people chase it and they get it, then they lose it. I mean, it's very dynamical. Here, we're going to talk about some different ways to have relationships with money, or things that you can do that will proceed to allow you to receive more money. And then, you know, you do what you want with that. You know, here at Mission Accepted, we have people that come onto the show that are looking to have exposure, or our stages, or our books. I mean, look at, if you're a fan, you know what we do. I don't need to go into me or what we do here, but we create platforms for people to come and share and have exposure and therefore receive for what they do. And then they get to do with their money. So many times when you meet people, particularly entrepreneurs, there's things that they do predominantly to help you be more successful, right? Be more successful. And then by being more successful, da 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 da, you get to receive more of what you want. And presuming one of those is money. We were a little pre-show singing some songs. I mean, money's an important thing. There's some people that have written some pretty incredible songs about money. It's in most titles of books, and it's in most title. There's titles of movies, right? Moneymakers and this and all of it. It's used a lot because it's very attractive. It's something that we want. So let's find out from these two incredible ladies what they do to help people get that. So I will let them introduce themselves in detail, but I'm going to say welcome Carol and welcome Christine. It's the CCDD show. Oh, we got a house full of C. We got a house full of C tonight. So welcome to the show, Carol. If you can just introduce yourself and tell the audience what you do, that would be helpful.
Carol Patrizzi, stationed out of Houston, Texas, international podcaster, entrepreneur, believe in the, actually, I not only believe in the power of money, I believe that, and if you all will study different energies, you will find that joy and money have the same energy. And it is something that needs to flow. It's something it's okay to embrace because, like Deb said, of what we're able to do with that money and why we want to make it. I mean, my goodness, why does it matter? And what I do, I share, I educate others through stories and have multiple streams of income because I believe that it's the accountable thing to do. I talk a lot about accountability, not too sexy, however, extremely important. Thrilled to be here.
Right on. Thank you so much for showing up today. Showing up, there's a big part of money. Show up. Show up to receive and money show up. Okay. And our beautiful friend, Breath of Renewal. What are you going to share with us today?
Yeah, so Christina Summers out of Richmond, Virginia. And really, I utilize my experience in accounting as well as my passion for intuitive guidance, like energy, nervous system regulation, expansion, to support healers, to support light workers, to support coaches or new practitioners, really tap into getting comfortable with their money, getting comfortable with looking at what the numbers say, at the story behind those numbers, and then opening up and expanding to allow more to come in, because we all have those money stories. And if you start to have that, like Deb was saying, if you start to have that, like making that meaning behind, and we like say we want one thing, but do another thing, we get really contracted and we're more pushing it away instead of allowing it to come into us. So really getting clear in where that story lies and opening up and expanding, because we can only receive as much as we have the capacity to receive, like the vessel to receive in. So we might think one thing, but the actual premise of it is something completely different.
Yeah, right on. And not to make it sound complicated, but money is, it's interesting. And you talked about it being energy, Carol. And I remember a long time ago that when I was learning about the flow of money, it's like, a good colleague of mine said, think about money. It wasn't yours before you got it. And it's not going to be yours once you spend it. And so that was about the flow of money and just seeing like this giving and receiving as the same thing. Because many times we're super happy to give and we jam up on the receiving unless we think it's for someone else. And then it's a little easier, right? Predominantly, I'm not talking about everyone out there, but let's talk about Carol. What attracted you to having part of the money conversation with your clients? What is it about money that, what attracts you to the world of money?
So I'm one of 11 kiddos and money came up a lot. When you're number 6 of 11 kiddos, let's just say money came up a lot. And this was in a day and time that people didn't really discuss money, we talked about it at home and there were certainly sometimes some volatile conversations around money. Mm-hmm. But then when you left, it was like, okay, that's not what we talk about. I always found that very interesting because I feel like when we have good conversation, we learn. Mm-hmm. And it's always curious. I wanted to be independent. I started working at a very, very, very young age. And then I went into lending, banking and lending years and years ago. And I did mortgage lending while I was in real estate and continued actually with a little bit of that. Anyway, I realized when I started having conversations with people about money, it's a very intimate conversation. You are having conversations. We are coming into people's homes. What's working? What's not working? Who thinks what's important? One person wants to spend money on something. Another person wants to spend money on something different. Is there enough in order to buy a home? I mean, I did this for many, many years. And what I realized is that there is a perception Oftentimes, people will think people are successful if they have a lot of money. That is absolutely one wonderful area of success. But what I found was the people that were okay about, oh gosh, well, we have this, you know, how do we increase the flow of money? We all know, I mean, people say, oh, you know, rich people, I don't want to be rich. I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. What do you want to do day to day? Because you need a little bit of cash just to have the days go in and out. So I've always been interested because of what we can do with money. You know, buy a home, which is where I got really involved into the psychology and started realizing, oh my goodness, this conversation is big. It is big, and people are afraid to have it. And I realized there is such power around honesty with money and the energy with money that I just continued on and expanded that into other types of businesses and realized that we need to become accountable and curious about money. Hoarding it is not helping anybody.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's a great book, Die Broke, but I'll tell you, it is a conversation, Deb, that I'm so happy you are bringing up, because it is such an important conversation for individuals to have.
I agree. And whether they're coaching, breathing, staging, televisioning, whatever they're doing, I love how you put it, Christina, around the story around money. And look at, we've all lived in different homes. We've heard things differently. Maybe we've heard a couple of people have some rows about it. You know, couples fighting, like, I can't believe you put that there or bought that there or whatever. You know, all the things that happen, but also there's the cultural piece. And there could be, in certain cultures, money is prized. In certain cultures, money is not. You're not spiritual if you're rich. Or I remember really listening to someone talk before and they were like, think about it. People say, oh yeah, that person, filthy rich. Filthy. What's that about? Filthy rich. Is that attractive? Do you want to be filthy rich? There's a connotation there. Like, what is that? So like you said, it is a big conversation. I think it's one that requires a lot of self-observation. And I think that we are creating platforms for people to be able to talk about money, be safe to talk about money. And we are all part of a community where there's women supporting each other and having those conversations. I mean, no one's saying you have to talk about your bank account on stage, but there is places where you're able to not feel shamed or embarrassed or whatever, right, about money and the comparing that can happen. You know, I say to people, don't compare your insides to other people's outsides. Don't compare your insides to other people's outsides. But if you want to take some accountability, if you want to make some change, if you want to work through some stories, right on. Like, right on. Like, so Christina, what about for you? What is it about money? What attracted you to helping people build it, or for you to be attracted to money? What's that about?
Yeah, so from the whole like money mindset, similarly, I grew up in a home where it was very lack and very scarcity, and you had to work really hard to make money. Mm-hmm. And you had to look at those rich people and look at, like, it was a bad thing. Like, they were bad in some way. And as long as you have that mindset, you're going to keep pushing that away from you, right? But from an accounting standpoint, I really fell into the career of accounting. It was when I was a single mom. I had to find something that was going to bring money in to support my kid. And in my day job, I was at a leadership retreat, and the CFO got up and she started talking about budgeting. And you felt the entire room, if you're in tune with energy, you feel the energy shift, and you felt the entire room just contract, completely like close in and collapse. And just, it got so heavy. And I'm like, ooh, like Carol said, get curious. What's this about? And one of the, I work for a mental health organization, and one of the directors of one of the programs, she was like, "I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying. And at the same time, I got in this business, I got in this career to help my clients, not to look at the numbers, not to look at the finances. I don't, that gives me anxiety. That stresses me out. I have so much resistance to it." And I got curious and I'm like, how much is that for entrepreneurs out in the world? How many other people have such that big servant's heart? Like you said, we're all on mission to change the world, to brighten the world, to make the world a better place. We want to do that by serving our clients, not looking at our numbers. So I'm like, okay, so if we can make this easier, combine forces of, and I've been complimented this on multiple times. Again, I started getting curious as to, you make it feel safe to talk about this. The way you explain things, now I understand. So it's diving in and getting curious as to, from a practical aspect, like let's look at the numbers, let's break them down, let's explain them so you understand what you're looking at. Then let's get strategic, because when we're operating a business, it's really a three-legged stool. We have our finances, we have our clients, and we have our employees, whether we're our solopreneur and it's just us, or we have a team of people. And if any one of those legs of the stool is weak, we're not going to have a sturdy stool to stand and grow a business on. We're not going to be able to strategically expand and serve the world the way we want to. So if we can come along, if I can come alongside and help support, and now it's like lighting my fires to how many people want or need, don't even want, but need that support. And how much more better could our world be? How much brighter if we could serve more people because we had a strong foundation to build our and grow on.
Yeah, true, true, true. I see all of us nodding our head on it, and I'm just so glad that we are talking about the conversation, the conversation about supporting people, because when you open that door or you allow that other person to just be real with what's going on, whether it's great or not, look, sometimes people struggle when they start to make money, right? Or they start to feel uncomfortable, or they're like, this is kind of weird, or people change around them. And they don't know how to articulate that. And what do we do? And as you go to these next levels, or you start to make more, and it becomes obvious because your car changes, or your address changes, or you take more time off, or you, the experiences that people have can be distressing, even concerning for someone. Like, I don't want to lose, or there's people that you don't tell things to, and all the things that can go around with money. I'm sure that there was lots of conversations about money when we were all growing up that our parents or caretakers had that we didn't hear about, but you knew it. You probably knew it, right? Well, let's talk about some of the things that we can do, because there's lots of things that, here's the good news, people. There's lots of things that you can do to change that, and that you're obtaining more money, or learning how to manage the money that you have, or receiving more money from, I love how you said that, like we say that I'm abundant when really I've got lots on the go, because that's an abundant. But I remember, I'm not a big pick a word for the every year, like it's just, not my thing. So, but it is a lot of people's thing. So I did it one year, and the word was windfall. I'm like, ooh, I want to have a windfall. I want a windfall. We knew I wanted a windfall of money, and I didn't want to work for it because I've been working my whole life, I'm like, please, just drop it to the sky, abundantia, like let's get this going. So let's talk a little bit about how you help people, Carol, with money, and how you help them tune into that, or whatever you do that helps people earn more.
Well, first of all, I absolutely love when people, when I share with people, if you, what is it that you love to do? What are your God-given gifts? What is it? Because there, I guess I won't say 100%, but there is a 98% chance that you can grow something that you love, grow at it. And the money comes with it. There's this beautiful story, and Deb, you would love this. I can't wait for you to meet him. My nephew, he's a legit rock star, and Stevie Wonder and Janet Jackson and all the things. And it was time to go to school, and he was accepted into this amazing school for music. And he said, look, I know y'all want me to go. I just don't need to go. I just want to start getting better. I want to start practicing this. And his dad pulled up. And at that time, he was working to make money and to pay his bills at a filling station. And he was at a gas station. I'm not sure what everybody calls it. Anyway, yeah. His dad pulled up and was watching him. And between customers, he was just sitting there jamming on the guitar. And his dad, I'm covered with chills. And his dad called my sister, his mom, and said, the kid's going to be great at this. He loves the practice of this. The money will follow. So what I like, it's like one of my very favorite conversations with many people that I work with is talking about their God-given gifts, what they love to do. You can grow what you love to do and feel okay about receiving money for that. You can figure out how to grow that for other people. I don't think so often as we just grow up education, traditional education, the conversation is figure out something that you can do that's going to make a lot of money and choose that. That's always blown my mind. That does not lend itself to joy and happiness. That's like, I have to work so hard for this money and I can't believe it, rather than I get to go learn and get better at something today and the money comes. So what I love to do is have those conversations and those aha moments like, oh, I never thought about that. I could actually make a little cash. Right?
Make the cash, keep the cash. All right. Okay. Thank you so much. And Christina, for you, I mean, you are in a completely different field and you help people achieve their financial goals, but how do you do it?
Yeah. So it's really a combination of the practical as well as the holistic healing, the energy, the nervous system regulation, because as long as you stay in that contracted state, as long as you stay in those stories, you're going to work really hard and keep pushing it away from you. Like what Carol said, the joy, you're in the joy, you bring that money in, it will come to you. It's like you attract what you are, you bring in what you are, you push away what you're like. So if you're in this state of resistance, you're going to continuously push it away. If I feel like I have to work really, really hard, where is loving your life? You're meant to love the life you're given. Like, you are given a life to live. How are you loving it if day in, day out, I have to go into work and I have to punch the keys or do whatever you're doing and you're absolutely miserable? Is that really an abundant way to live your life? Because we can talk about abundance too. It's not just money. It's also about the joy you have and all of the things that come in with life. So really mirroring those two together. I can sit with somebody and I can guide them in the practical. I can help them from a practical standpoint, put all their numbers into place, give them all of the statements, explain them, help them strategically plan, help them budget. And even it was brought to awareness, budget is really a limiting contraction type, because you're containing how much you can. So I almost like to see it more as an abundance plan, creating a plan of how you're going to bring more in to allow it to flow out and strategically grow while managing your nervous system at the same time, while getting to the root of those stories. And through things like breath work, through coaching, through teaching or mentoring, allowing the guidance to come, the intuitive, what is needed in this moment to get you into a regulated state so you can understand, so we can build something that's going to bring even more to get you to that next level.
Right on. You know, as you talk, it reminds me of something I did last week, just because, after you hang out with women like you, this stuff sticks in your head after a few years. Okay, so I go to my mailbox, right? And you know me, I'm always barking about putting something in someone's mailbox, send a card, whatever, send a gift, whatever it is. Because we just, what we get in mailboxes now is really limited. Now people send Christmas cards digitally and all the thing. And I won't tell you my opinion on that. But the I'm a tactile person. Anyways, I go to my mailbox last week and the only thing in there is a bill. And before I let my head go, right, I was like, thank you. And I was laughing at myself. I'm like, how many times have I told my clients? I'm like, thank you. Thank you that I have this bill. Because if I didn't have this bill, that means I wouldn't have hydro. And if I didn't have hydro and electricity, what would it be like? So because I get to pay this, because I can pay this easily, right? You know, it's not my mortgage. It's my, you know, I can pay this easily. Like, wow. I was like, I get to. Thank you so much for sending me my hydro bill. And just trying to, again, remind myself to just change my mind around have to versus get to. Because I know entrepreneurs that do work hard. I know entrepreneurs that are giving it 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day at times. I know entrepreneurs that are putting stuff on their credit card because they're taking classes, they're taking risks, they're jumping off. And people could look at that and go, you cray cray, you know, like what you doing? But you just both talked about joy, right? You talked about calculated risk, right? You talked about looking at it and going, okay, you know, I was just talking, I was just doing a show with a couple of Gen Zs and, you know, the difference between steak and lobster time and rice and pea time, you know, yeah. Even when you've been in business for a long time, but it's calculated, you've played this before, you know the risk. It's joyful because, like you said, Carol, it's about what you want to do. So look, ladies, there's things that you probably tell your people that if you could share today, just to give a little insight, I call them top performance tips, you know, things that can help support in a fairly quick manner, things that you do in your world, because obviously if you're helping other people receive money, you probably got a little bit of jingle in your pocket, got a little green in your jeans. And so what do you do? You know, what's something that you can share that we can leave the show with that people go, yeah, you know, now they're going to start saying, thank you, Hydro Man. You know what I mean? But what can you do? What do you do that anyways, talk to that a little bit.
I'm married and it's interesting because we have these money conversations and calculated risk, et cetera, et cetera. And I, even at the office that, we have a construction company that I consult with them now. And one of the things that I share, and everyone there has told me what a difference it has made. When they're paying their bills, thank you, Father. I was able to pay this bill. Thank you. Thank you. And it oftentimes, you know, sometimes we're paying a utility company. However, very often, we are paying trades that are master craftsmen. What a gift. I'm covered in chills to be able to pay them as they create something that we're all working together to create for someone. I think that the appreciation of paying a bill rather than I just cannot believe this bill, I can't believe the amount or whatever that is, instead of let's start with, you know what? Thank you, Father. I can pay that bill.
Right on.
I think we start with gratitude.
Right on. Thank you. And Christina?
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up the gratitude to pay bills, because once upon a time, I used to get all flustered with paying bills. It was coming very much from that lack mentality of that grumbling, and then it would put me in an off mood for who knows how long. And that mindset shift of, thank you for allowing me to have, I love the example of the water, because we had a storm here a couple months ago and one of the water treatment plants went down. We were without water for 3 days. Like, there's nothing more that you appreciate than somebody hard at work trying to get your water to come back on. So yeah, I love that mindset shift. But one of my top performances is really self-care. You need to take the time to take care of yourself. In the busyness, in the hardworking, because a lot of times, yeah, we as entrepreneurs like to work hard. We work really hard because we love the people that we serve. We love the things that we do. It doesn't always feel like work. And then we end up burnt out when we don't pay attention. And then we're like, wait, what just happened? So taking the time to allow for self-care, whether it's 5 minutes in one day or whether it's booking a longer session once a month, like, look at what you need, what you have the capacity in your schedule to set aside, but really taking care of yourself because you can't pour from an empty cup. So you need to fill into yourself first so you can pour out to other people.
Right on. There's so many great drops here. You know, I call it like there's like for you listening and watching, I know you're like, oh yeah. Like you're nodding your head. Like I'm nodding my head, you're nodding your head. There's some great things here. Now look at this is mission accepted, and we talk about taking the mission. Talk about taking the mission, we talk about staying on the mission. There's risks that we take, there's rewards that we have. Let's finish up the show, ladies, with you know, something that was risky for you. Like, you know, risk reward. It doesn't even have to come from the same place. Sometimes you take a risk here and the reward comes 3 months later or 6 months later or in a completely different direction. So, what was one of the riskiest things that you did as an entrepreneur, Carol? What was one of the things that you were like, ooh, look at that?
You know what? I decided to step up and grow and decide. I knew that I had information that people needed, and I decided I don't know how to do a podcast. I'm gonna start one, and get out there, and I'm gonna go become part of media and dive in and get coaching and spend the money here because I think it's important, and it is. You know, it wasn't immediate, but it has been an incredible journey, time, talent, treasure. Like you said, a lot of long days, but very fulfilling days. And you know what? I'm here to learn and to grow just with everyone else. And so I continue to build businesses and businesses that, you know, were just kind of an idea years ago. I'm telling you, do it. If you're out there and you're wondering, do it. Get on the phone, ask people that are doing it already. And it's so worth it.
Right on, right on. And Christina, we'll wrap up the show with your share of risk.
Yeah, I think it really goes hand in hand along the lines of what Carol was saying too, is one that finding my voice and sharing my story. After my car accident in 2016, I felt the strong impression on my heart is to you need to share your story. And I'm like, but what does that mean? I'm an accountant. I don't write. I don't share my story. And little did I know at that time, I was about to go through the most tumultuous period in my life I could never, ever imagine. And getting to the other side, finding my voice to share these things, to help other people on their journey to grow, to get deep into the money and numbers, and then investing in myself, investing, whether it's in getting my voice out there through books, through podcasts, through speaking on stage, whether it's investing in myself of personal development and growth, or getting certified in things like breathwork and coaching. So really that investment back into myself so I have the tools, resources, and knowledge to be able to pour out into other people.
Wow, right on. So look, we are going to have the information of these two women and how you can reach and talk and check it out and follow social and all the things. You heard something here, I know, audience. You heard something today that made you nod because being able to have a conversation about the positivity of money in a really real way. And also that, you know, what you want is not that far off. Like it's really not that far off. And I think that's the beauty of the commodity of what resources and one of them being called money can do. So we really encourage you to, I don't know, let's, shall we say it, show up, step up, and, you know, show up, step up and speak up and just claim yours, right? I think like, you know, if we had a message and a thought for you, and we're so grateful you are just such a great podcast audience. So, you know, claim your fortunes, you know, claim your fortunes. You know, there's a great book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and there was a line in there. Now, I read that book 10 times before I was in my mid-20s. Someone didn't refer it to me. I don't know how it came to me, but I read it, and I remember there's a line in there that says, "When riches come, you're going to wonder where they were all your life." You know, and there's times that like life was super tight, you know, and I was thinking, okay, I guess I'm depositing in some big piggy bank one day, and you know, it's just going to show up on my front door. So keep investing in yourself. Keep investing in yourself until you've got a large enough pocket to invest in what it is that you want. So thank you for showing insight on this really important topic. Carol and Christina, and I again, I know all your information will be in the show notes and people will reach out to you. So with that, thank you for being on the show. Audience, if you want to be sitting where these incredible ladies are, you've got a couple of options. You can come onto the podcast, you can come onto the stage, and guess what? You can also start your own TV show now. So if that was just a drop, this is the first time we are announcing that we have the women's channel. If you're going to announce it on a channel, you might as well announce it when you're talking about some money. So if you want to revenue generate, getting your word out there, you want your own TV show, you'd be shocked and surprised at how easy that can happen for you. That's the other thing. Want your money, expect your money, and the thing is that'll bring your money with ease. With ease. All right. Thank you as always. You be well. You stay groovy. And thanks, ladies. Bye for now.
Thanks, Deb.